Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening, Tiki and Tierney? This is the Tiki and Tierney Show. Good Monday to you. Around the country, of course, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, we're inside of our studio here, Lower Manhattan on the west side, the Rockin' Mortgage Studio. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rockin' Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Of course, simulcast here on CBS Sports Network. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. I've got it. So, Teeks, listen to me. This is the first time I've been scared as a dad this weekend. It's the first time I was really, truly, I was telling Sampton before the show, first time I was really, truly afraid on a sports field with my son.
What happened?
So we're playing, we had the busy day, right? We had soccer in the morning. It was great. It's just a great jam-packed day. And then football, and then doubleheader with baseball. We're playing a really good team. And they show up, and I'm like, to myself, I would never project this on the kids. I'm like, oof, this is, these kids
baseball
look good. Baseball.
Or, yeah, okay.
I'm like, these kids look legit. Just watching them take in, and we're pretty good too, but I'm watching them take infield. They're bigger. I'm like, all right, it's going to be tough. We got to be ready, right? He takes one, right? So he's playing shortstop, keep in mind. This is the first time all year we played on a dirt field because our field is turf. Most of the fields are nice turf. We played on a skin infield. Deke, I had just positioned him in the hole a little closer to third base, right? It's their number three hitter. This kid hits a rocket. And I mean, it looked like it was off the bat of a 13-year-old. And as I turned my head, I knew I had just put him there, and I knew it was going to short.
Yeah.
Hits a rock, right?
Geez.
Hits a rock and hits him right in the chin, right? Takes it right off the chin. Now, I thought I could – look at that, Teak.
I saw it on Instagram.
Those are the seams from the baseball that are on my son's chin right there.
Character builders right there.
Well, that's the way Daddy thinks about it. But Daddy still had to make sure. Because I thought it may have hit him in the throat.
I see.
So I run out there. First of all, he picks the ball up, completes the play, throws it to first base. Then he gets down on a knee, and I sprint out. And he's crying. But it's not like – not wimpy crying. Even if he was, that would be fine. I'm not judging. It's six years old. But he's crying. It's more like anger and like a little confusion. And I get down on my knee, I give him a hug, I give him a kiss. I said, bud, just I want to make sure it wasn't, just say something. Say daddy. Just say something. And Teague, I felt like the whole world stopped because I could see in his eyes he was scared. And I'm looking at him, and you'll appreciate this as an athlete. Ironically, the day before, a hand to Bible, the day before, we were having a conversation about the difference between being hurt and injured. And I said to him on the field, I said, are you hurt or are you injured? Now, he didn't quite process it the way he did in the car. I'm going to keep it real. His head was all over the map, but he looked at me. He goes, three times in a row, he goes, I'm good. Finishes the game. We sweep the doubleheader.
Nice.
He pitches. He gets three strikeouts, and he gets the game ball.
Nice.
Now, listen, I tell you how he does. I'm not going to broadcast to the airwaves every time my son has a good game. Not about that. It is about it. The kids are much more resilient than we think that they are.
Oh, yeah, of course they
are. And you got to challenge these kids to be ball players and to be competitors.
Agreed.
And that's the bottom line. That's what I was most proud that he stayed. He was not coming out of the game if I had a crowbar. And by the way, Daddy wasn't reaching for one. Daddy's heart saying, if I got to carry you off the field, then we're leaving the field. No questions asked, buddy, of course.
Yeah.
But we're doing everything we can to stay in this game.
To me, it was always, are you bleeding? If you're not bleeding, you're not hurt.
I hear you. And you know what, though? I really thought, that's, man, oh, man. Look at the stitches from the baseball.
Again,
character
builder. Is he in pain today?
It's fine.
Oh, all right.
No, the pain started when he watched Zach Wilson throw four picks. Look, the poor kid's even wearing his Jets jersey. That was the next morning. That was yesterday morning. He's all geared up for the Jets, which obviously were horrendous. The Dallas Cowboys, their defense is no longer horrendous.
Agreed.
Their defense is no longer porous. Dare I say,
what a difference.
It's actually growing into a bit of an asset.
I know.
What's the difference?
Well, I mean, it is the...
Besides Parsons.
Clearly.
And obviously coordinator.
Clearly it's the coordinator, Dan Quinn, who was... I mean, we forget how great Dan Quinn was.
Yeah.
Because it feels like... I mean,
talk about when he was with Seattle.
I was going to say, it feels like a decade ago, but it actually was a decade ago.
Absolutely.
When he was with the Seattle Seahawks and they had the Legion of Boom. And, you know, as much as the Legion of Boom was about... like big corners. Remember, it was like the first time we saw 6 foot corners.
Who was the guy who was 6 foot four? Opposite
Browning,
Sherman.
Browning. Yeah, I think he ended up getting in trouble.
He didn't play as long as he should have.
Yeah, I mean, like off the field. I feel like he did something happen with him. Maybe not, but who knows? But they had big corners. They had big safeties. They were aggressive up front. They were flying all over the field. Remember how athletic that defense felt?
Mm-hmm.
And now it feels like the Cowboys, with guys like Micah Parsons, as you were just mentioning, and even DeMarcus Lawrence, who is out now, but these guys are flying all over the field and playing like free, as opposed to what they had last year, which was Mike Nolan saying, this is your gap responsibility. You get into that gap and you play into that gap. And, you know, I don't care what happens. If you see the ball going the other way, you still play in your gap type of thing.
Integrity.
Right. And it's, I mean, in 1985, maybe that had some merit, right? Just because you didn't want gash plays to happen. But in today's NFL, these guys are athletes, man. They're like super athletes. Even the tackles, even like the defensive tackles who are 285 pounds, they're athletes. And they want to have fun. And what I think we're seeing now with this Cowboys defense, these guys are flying all over the field. Like, Leighton Vander Esch was making every play, right? He was just flying around, making every single play up front. Micah Parsons forced into an edge-rushing position. Micah Parsons is a linebacker.
Yep.
But forced into an edge-rushing position. He played every snap on the edge and was disruptive,
mm-hmm.
right? He was actually getting home, which just tells you, like, this team is buying in to what Dan Quinn is preaching them. So for the first time, and it feels like a while, they, even if they're not fully as talented as some people other on paper as some other teams, they're playing a free-flowing form of defense, and it's working for them.
And I don't care who you give the football to. Anybody could run behind Zach Martin.
Oh,
Zach Martin is great.
He is unbelievable.
God.
And we mentioned this with Zeke. And Zeke didn't have a bad day.
No.
He's actually okay.
He rushed 71
yards and a touchdown.
Yep,
Tony Pollard went for 109 and a touchdown, and then he had five or six receptions for 30 or so yards as well. They are dynamic on both sides of the ball, and that's scary for Dallas or for NFC East fans,
mm-hmm.
other than Cowboys fans, because the Cowboys could make some waves, especially if Dak keeps playing the way that Dak has been playing the first couple of weeks.
Well, that's where I was going to go. Keep in mind, I mean, I know that it's we are a society of immediacy at this point, mm-hmm. so we no longer really process what transpired a week or two, let alone a day ago. So it's very easy to forget that he hadn't played football for, you know, 14 months.
That's right.
Just about. A little bit less than that. But, you know, like maybe about, got hurt October. Yeah, I mean, a little bit inside of a year, obviously. Competitive football. Didn't play a snap during the summer. We know about the shoulder. We know about everything else that transpired with his body, the contractual stuff. And here's a guy who, he might look the part because he is the part, but he's still scraping away a little bit of rust, even if nobody wants to really grant him that. So you factor in that. Michael Gallup was hurt. He's out a few more weeks, so their offense isn't even full. You know, I am going to be a little reticent. I'm not trying to be the complete party pooper, but I'm not going to fully buy this Cowboys team because, number one, the referees had such a profound impact on this game yesterday.
Yeah.
It was criminal. And the Cowboys very easily, and you could probably make the case, very well should be 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they would have, if they lost by a point, it was competitive. Like, we wouldn't be on the air waxing poetic about the Cowboys and their tantalizing possibilities. We'd be sitting here saying, Cowboys are 0-2.
Yeah.
So I know it's a win-or-loss league here, win-or-lose league, but it's... It's trending in the right direction. They've got some things that are non-negotiable. If you want to win in the NFL,
yep.
You got to have a playmaking quarterback. You got to have some components on the offensive line. You got to have a defensive disruptor like they do in Parsons. Certain things you got to have. And they've got a bevy of receivers. I think the Dallas Cowboys will be, you know, relevant all season. But where do we stop with the level? How much enthusiasm is too much enthusiasm for this unit today?
Well, I think the reason that the enthusiasm is high, BT, is because I thought their defense was going to suck again. Even though they drafted Micah Parsons and they have good players on that side of the ball. And, you know, Van Der Esch, who we thought was going to be one of the top linebackers, and Diggs, who they drafted last year. They drafted him last year. Out of Alabama. Jalen Smith, he's there. But we saw these same guys just get gashed a season ago. So I think the optimism is this Cowboys defense, as the year goes on, they're only going to get better as long as they stay healthy. They're only going to get better, getting more comfortable in Dan Quinn's system. And so maybe the defense can win games. Which ultimately it came down to. They did have to win a game. They had to get a stop on Herbert, who is just sublime. I mean, he's just an unbelievable
he's great.
Young quarterback.
Couple of mistakes, but man, he's great.
But other than that, they did a really good job keeping this Chargers team to two touchdowns and a field goal, right? And so I think the excitement is because, man, if Dak plays like he did when he has to put up 38 points in certain games, and then this defense can hold one of the top offenses from a year ago, and they're probably better this year, to 17 points, right? It's lining up to be that way. So I think there's the optimism is simply because the defense is playing so good, as opposed to what it looked like a year ago. And a year ago, we all remember, it was garbage. It was horrendous.
Is there any other NFL fans out there that have a little stadium envy at this point? I mean, I this is a little bit off the page. I know we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, but they played in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, so when they have these bump shots coming in from the networks, whether it's the Raiders in Las Vegas or the Chargers and the Rams out there in Inglewood, California with SoFi, and then you get the dump that's MetLife, I mean, which is relatively new, by the way. It's only about a little bit more than 10 years. I mean, does anybody else have stadium envy? Some of these new stadiums are insane.
Yeah, they are.
SoFi is crazy.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean,
even Atlanta's, I like Mercedes. That's a good-looking venue.
Yeah, because that
with
one's,
the round, it's got right. the round scoreboard.
Mercedes that's is
about
only
5 years
five
old.
5 or 6 years
about
old.
About 5 years
yeah,
old.
Because I remember we had McKay.
But we were there.
We had McKay on, also the president of football operations. What's it? McKay? Yeah, I think it's
McKay's with the Falcons. Remember they sent us a $2 bill? For their menu?
Yeah.
Sam, do you remember what they sent us?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mitch McKay from the Falcons.
No, I know, but they sent us a $2 bill.
Yes, yes,
they,
yes.
They sent you and I both $2 because their
that's
menu
right.
inside the
that's
stadium
right.
was
right.
like
that's
more
right.
more family friendly. But there's some sweet stadiums in the NFL. And I don't know which one's better, SoFi or Allegiant. Allegiant looks more intimidating, black. It's just more, maybe not even vibrant. It just looks, it tends
I gotta
to
see
pop
more,
more.
I got to see more games there.
But structurally, like the outer structure of SoFi, oh man, it looks beautiful.
Yeah,
God, it's
I mean,
gorgeous.
The I think I like the Raiders Stadium more.
I like the Raiders vibe more. I agree.
It just feels intimidating.
It does. It does. No,
whereas,
it does.
Whereas SoFi feels like a California stadium.
Well, that's why 35,000 Cowboy fans said I feel good enough to come in here.
That's exactly right.
And make myself at home.
And so it's not necessarily a home stadium advantage for the Chargers.
You think it ever will be? It will be for the Rams. You think it ever will be for the Chargers?
I don't know.
But if Justin Herbert's as good as we know he is, and he's there for 10, 12, 15 years,
yeah, I think
you'd have to think that they will
point.
Be.
If maybe in like 5 years, if he's still great and ascending, and man, Justin Herbert's going to be one of the greatest of this generation greatest of this generation, maybe they'll get a convert, a fandom. But it just doesn't feel that way.
No.
People aren't buying tickets to come see the Chargers play.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks because they're good and they've been good for 2 years now with Justin Herbert at the helm, but I don't think that. I don't know. I don't see it happening.
No, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that. Let's hear from Coach Mike McCarthy. Big win week two win over the Chargers. Here's Dallas's head man.
You know, to come in here and win this game was important on a number of fronts for us. We needed it, and we needed the confidence that goes with this win. So, winning in this league so hard. So I'm just proud of the guys.
You know, here's the other story too. All right, good job, Coach McCarthy. I mean, can you bungle the timeout? situation any more than Mike McCarthy did?
No, no.
And you, I did not know
you,
that.
You heard the excuse, right?
Yeah, I heard. The scoreboard's not, the timer's not working.
The timer's not working. And,
what?
And to be honest with you, I can understand why that's a big deal.
Then what you do is you throw your hanky, you call timeout.
That's right.
And you say, fix the clock.
That's right.
And we're not playing until it's fixed.
That's right. And then he said, Kellen Moore, his view for the other clock was obstructed.
Oh, I'm hearing a lot of excuses.
Exactly.
What I'm hearing.
It sounded like a lot of excuses for why you didn't know what the hell was going on
in
the game. But at that moment, if the clock matters so much, absolutely. Run out on the field and say, ref, the clock's not working. I don't know what the hell is going on.
And it shouldn't be incumbent upon the coach, by the way, to have to do that.
No.
That happens in the NBA. The refs, 24-second shot clock on the other side.
Yep.
It's off. Timeout. Let's fix this. Let's rectify this.
Yep.
The NFL, you're a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. Get your damn clocks fixed.
You're right. And if you mess it up, sorry, it's not our fault. you should have known. Maybe you should have a guy on the sideline, you know, keeping track. But it was funny because as it was rolling down, and you're watching, just like, dude, are you going to call a timeout?
That's what I was saying out loud.
And in some respects, you're kind of like, well, maybe he just has this much confidence in his field goal kicker.
You mean the same guy who doinked one,
exactly.
PAT and the hook job on the opener?
Missed an extra point and missed two field goals in the opener against the Buckeyes.
I mean, that's some unwavering
In my mind,
support.
I'm like, he just really like feels good about his kicker. And I'm like, wait a second, he shouldn't feel good about Greg Zuerlein.
I'm thinking, does he not trust Dak? Which I don't even want my mind to go there because he should have unwavering faith in Dak Prescott. Zuerlein's actually good.
Yeah.
He had a rough opener against Tampa, but he's good. He's got a hell of a leg. That was just confounding. And I'm not buying the excuse. And you know what? Even if he's right, I'm not trying to pile on a coach that won a tough game in a tough venue against a good team. Like, I'm trying to remain fair. But if that happened, then step up and let everybody know what the heck is going on.
Aren't there
You're the
four,
coach.
Aren't there four clocks in every stadium? Both end zones
at
both.
That. You mean? Oh, I know the play. You're talking about the play clock.
The play clock.
Well, absolutely. Well, for each quarterback, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, so
there's one behind each goalpost.
You're right.
That's two.
And I feel like they're on the clock on the sides too. Maybe,
that I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe that depends.
They don't have that at MetLife. I feel like, they didn't.
I think it depends on the stadium. Be honest with you.
SoFi probably has everything, every gadget.
I mean, you would think it does.
Yeah, so, that was weird. But
it was.
He dodged a bullet because if they would have lost that game,
he got away with it. You're right.
He did. He did. But Dallas. Listen, this is not breaking news. We thought that Dallas would be pretty good this year. They just might be a little bit better than we thought they would be.
I love Michael Parsons, too.
He's awesome, man. He's a good pick out of Penn State, boy.
He's just fun.
He's a game wrecker. All right, T, coming up, Florida almost wrecked the entire college football season. How about getting pushed around and then boom, here come the Gators. The swamp was popping. We'll talk some college football coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back here on a Monday. Obviously a busy one. Saturday on CBS. We're going to get to college football right here. Give you a heads up. Another full slate of football coming up this weekend, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, with Mountain West action as undefeated Utah State hooks up with Boise State. And then at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, the SEC on CBS features 7th-rated Texas A&M as they battle number 20 Arkansas. So that's all coming up Saturday on CBS. All right, we needed this. As a college football nation, we needed this weekend.
Yeah.
We needed some sort of sign, because if you watch the Oklahoma-Nebraska game, somehow Nebraska hung around, which is, I mean, good for them for fighting. That makes me worry about Oklahoma.
No, you should worry about Oklahoma, and you should worry about Ohio State.
Very worried about the Buckeyes. Clemson's offense, I don't know how it gets any better. There's something obviously missing there. And here we are, the game of the week, the best conference in America, you know, CBS crown jewel, football and entertainment. End of the first quarter, it's 21-3.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here saying, where is the spark? I know Georgia's good, don't get me wrong. Maybe Iowa, who I like. But where is the spark that is at least going to threaten Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
And while it won't be Florida in a playoff, I don't think.
No.
I mean, they could meet again, sure. But at least there's a template for competitiveness that gives us hope that this season isn't a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I think Florida is this was cross division, so Florida theoretically could win the East in Alabama, so they could see.
That's
each
what I'm
other.
Saying. They could see each other in the,
see
SEC,
each
championship
other in the SEC championship game, and who knows what's going to happen in that game. Now, I agree with you. I was getting ready for the Penn State game. Obviously, this was the earlier game. Penn State was a night whiteout game. And so this was on, and you know, it's 21-3, as you mentioned, BT. And I was like, ugh, jeez, here we go.
Ugh.
This is going to be a trouncing. They might score 60 points in this game. And then all of a sudden, Florida started doing something that I think was against the norm when you're down that big to a team like Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't start airing it out because Emory Jones, their quarterback, is not that type of player, even though he did, you know, he threw the balls 27 times in this game, but he's not that kind of like stud quarterback that's going to throw for 350 yards and six touchdowns and make them viable, kind of like Lane Kiffin, Matt Corral at Ole Miss right now, who's balling, by the way. The kid has been spectacular, and Ole Miss is a threat as well, but still. On the Florida team, they did it by just running the football. It was a little bit like, I don't know, outside of the norm of how you see college teams come back. Very similar to the Tennessee Titans, to be perfectly honest with you, and their comeback against the Seattle Seahawks. Instead of conventionally airing it out, you turn around, you start handing the football off. Emory Jones himself picked up a lot of yards on the ground with his legs and just made play after play, methodically inching their way back in this thing. And then ultimately, basically holding down and shutting down Alabama. Alabama scored 10 points, 21 in the first quarter.
Yep.
They scored 10 in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last one came down to the end.
Right. It was a long gap.
It was a huge gap.
Yep. Touchdowns.
Between Alabama's, you know, explosion to start the game and finally putting it away with a field goal at the end. So you give Florida credit for having a defense that tightened around Bryce Young and that Alabama offense. But more importantly, they did it unconventionally to get
mm-hmm.
back in it, which
mm-hmm.
was it's going to make for a fun SEC this year.
It is. And by the way, we mentioned, you know, Ohio State, Clemson, teams that have been on the national championship radar for years now as teams that just don't seem to have it. And that's not a knock. It is what it is. They're just not the same powerful squads that they were. We'd be, you know, remiss if we didn't. I know I mentioned Iowa, but certainly want to throw Oregon in there. Oregon's very viable. A&M, very mm-hmm. viable. Unintentional omission. So if your fans out there say, well, they didn't say the Ducks or the Aggies, we got you. Here's the thing, though. So, and we don't really reference stats that often in college football, but there's, you mentioned the rushing numbers, but you didn't actually give the disparity. 245 to 91.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, think about that gap.
That's right.
And here's the other thing that would, I don't know if it should embolden, well, it could. Actually, it should embolden Gator fans if they do meet them again, but also embolden Duck fans and Aggie fans and Iowa fans, teams that are going to be making a push, you know, for a championship. Florida, it's not like they even won the turnover battle. It's not like Alabama uncharacteristically muffed punts.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, they had no turnovers, Alabama.
Yeah.
None. And Florida had one. So it was a relatively clean, crisp game.
That's right.
In that regard. But if we're sitting here and it's 31-29, Bama by two, and the turnover battle was, you know, Florida plus three, we could say, well, maybe a bit of an outlier. No. No, they manned up and they in a lot of ways, they out-physical them, yeah, which we have not seen in forever.
No, you're right.
Well, with Alabama.
Especially going back to last year where they were heads and heels the best team in college football, maybe in college football history, save for the LSU team that they won the year before. Alabama just bludgeoned everyone last year. This year, though, that bludgeoning is not going to be as easy, it seems like. And I'm really interested to see, you know, what happens with Alabama as they get down the you know, down the road and play some of these other teams that now have to feel emboldened that they can move the ball on Alabama. Right? They have Southern Miss next, and you know they should do, you know, it's foregone conclusion what's going to happen with Southern Miss. But I mentioned this before. I mentioned it a second ago. Lane Kiffin,
yeah,
what he's building at Ole Miss is special. We talked about this in the preseason before the college football season started, and it's just confidence and cockiness that Lane Kiffin has. Remember, they had a shootout last year. And
yes,
it's basically who's going to stop who. Who's going to get a stop? And whoever gets that stop, that's going to win the game. Alabama ultimately won that one. But Ole Miss is 3-0 right now. And Matt Corral is throwing for 900, almost 1,000 yards in three games.
Who are they beating, though? I'm asking. I'm just curious.
No
one, three teams?
No one really. So they beat Louisville.
Yeah. And by the way, Louisville
had a –
played
pretty good win.
Pretty well the other night.
Pretty
yeah.
good win against UCF.
That was a good win.
It was interesting.
This crazy game, by the way.
Crazy ending to that game.
Yes.
Whereas Malik Cunningham throws a stupid interception, and it's like, oh, yeah, here we go. UCF's yeah. going to go down and win it.
Yes.
The next play.
Yes.
What's the kid's name? Dylan. Dylan, I forget the quarterback for UCF.
Gabriel.
Gabriel, yes. He throws in a pick six tipped interception that goes and ends the game.
That was wild. By the way, Friday night special, Sean Tierney over.
Nice. I love it.
So they played, and who was the third
Louisville,
game?
Austin Peay, and then Tulane.
Austin Peay, and then Tulane. Tulane's not very, okay.
And then they beat up Tulane. But
all right,
they've beaten these teams convincingly. So 43 points they scored against Louisville, 54 they scored against Austin Peay, and Tulane they scored 61, beat them by 40.
Tulane.
So, and so
Sean King, by the way, is going to join us a little later. He was on Tulane.
They have a bye week. Ole Miss has a bye week right now. And then in 2 weeks from Saturday, they play Alabama on CBS.
Better be 3:30 Eastern. That's a big game, right?
3:30 Eastern game on CBS. That's the game to watch for Alabama. That's where the danger is going to come. Because, you know, Lane Kiffin's not intimidated.
No.
He doesn't care, right? Even if he was intimidated, he wouldn't present it.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows Nick Saban and this Alabama team because he was assistant coach here for them for a couple of seasons. So Alabama feels vulnerable despite how good we know they are. And Florida was just, you know, like a couple of plays away from having one of the major upsets of this college football season.
Let's get a little reaction post-game. First, from the Florida side, here's Dan Mullen. Tight one going down to the Tide. Here he is.
Well, we had the opportunity last year to play for the SEC championship. Fell 6 points short. Number one team in the country are 2 points short today. So I think we're getting there. You know, I mean, I think we're at a point where we can compete. We got to get there to the point right now where we're going to go win.
Okay, that's a good attitude. He's not looking for, cosmetic points or aesthetical losses. Do you win or do you lose? And he's like, it's time to go win. I get it. Let's hear Saban. I want to play this cut. Nick Saban on Bryce Young against the Gators. Here's Alabama's legendary head coach.
Bryce did a really good job. I think it was very composed. It was a difficult circumstance and situation to play in. You know, we clapped some. We went on silent some. But I thought he managed the game really well, made some really, really good decisions for the most part.
Okay.
And why he says that, though, because this game was in the swamp. Very rarely have we seen Alabama on the road struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Really, they don't really go on the
never
road.
Never struggle.
They don't really don't go on the road either for teams. So this was the swamp is not easy a place to play in, especially when Florida's good as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's complimenting Bryce Young despite not really doing much after the first quarter.
And there that was the biggest underdog status in terms of, you know, Vegas points if they had been at home. Mm-hmm. Florida, of course, in I won't say over a decade, they were 14, 15 points when that thing got off. So that was worth it. If you stuck with the game, it was well worth it. All right, coming up, we'll get Inbounds, Out of Bounds, After Acts update. Hour three, Jameis and the Saints really scuffled. So are they more the team that dominated week one or the team that floundered yesterday? We'll give you the answer. We'll do that after act. Here's Rich.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. I don't know if you guys remember, you should, when Sean King came on the show, Tiki was out that particular day, and right at the end of the interview, he dropped a doozy. He's like, Jameis Winston's going to be in the mix for MVP. I laughed at him, and I said that was insane. And then Jameis Winston came out and threw five touchdowns in week one against the Packers. So I'm like, whoa, okay. And then Jameis came out and did what he did yesterday, and suddenly things feel somewhere in between. So not only will we talk about Jameis and the Saints next segment, but later we'll also have Sean King back to get a sense of what he thinks about a player he had very high expectations for coming into the season. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Samther, on a Stugett, scale of 1 to 10. It's Monday. I know you guys are busy. All the football stuff, all the sound. How much attention did you really give inbounds, out of bounds today? Did we half behind it? I mean, did we put full throttle effort forth? What's the story? Good questions. Just mail it in. What?
Oh, mailed it in. Mailed it straight in.
Yeah.
I mean, I put an extra stamp on there, put the flag up on the mailbox.
Okay.
Walked away.
Oh, old school.
I don't even know what the questions are anymore, to be honest with you.
I got you.
Wow.
All right, well, let's be the judge of that, although Santer is, he seems forthright enough. We should probably take him at his word, but we'll do it anyway. You ready? Inbounds, out of bounds?
I am.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, take number one. So the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers came into 2021 with their sights set on 17-0. They didn't really run from that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had people saying Tom Brady's going to throw for nearly 60 touchdowns. They were on the table. They embraced the expectations, not so much with the 55 touchdowns, but maybe try to flirt with perfection. After 2 weeks, they're still perfect. They beat the Falcons 48-25, who stink. Despite five touchdowns from Tom Brady, the game was pretty tight, with Tampa leading by just three with 10 minutes to go before two pick sixes by safety Mike Edwards in a four-minute span.
Yep.
All right, so you got the cover, you got the win, you got all sorts of stuff in final 4 minutes there. So despite the 2-0 start, we're less confident in the Bucs than we were, say, before the season began.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I'm still confident in the Buccaneers. I mean, he's on pace for 75 touchdowns on the year, Tom Brady. It's ridiculous. And Gronk.
And how many picks is Zach Wilson on pace for?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, dude. Jeez.
Their offensive line is just horrendous. I told you it was going to be. It got worse from week one to week two for the Jets, but He'll be fine.
Yep.
Lots of young quarterbacks, still lots of interceptions.
Yep.
But for the Buccaneers, I mean, their defense is still good. You know, Ndamukong Suh and those guys, they get after him. Shaq Barrett. He's had a little bit of a letdown against Matt Ryan's not done, but he looked a little cooked at points in that game. But I think offensively, they can just outscore anyone. Gronk looks like he's 28.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Chris Godwin's good.
Mm.
Mike Evans had two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the only thing they don't do is run the ball, but they don't need to run the ball. I mean,
no.
Antonio Brown had what? A catch?
Yeah, he was quiet.
And they still scored that many
almost
points.
Almost 50 points.
Yeah, exactly.
To your point about the running stat, they're bottom five right now, a couple of games in. And
yeah,
by the way, the Chiefs are there, because we talked about that in the first hour. I think the Saints, you know, as
Steelers.
Great as Steelers are there. Who else is amongst the bottom five? Maybe Miami, I feel like I may have seen. I know that the Chiefs are there and the Tampa Bay Bucks are there. So you don't necessarily have to run the ball in the 2021 to be good.
Yeah.
I'm going to say out of bounds here because, listen, I was very confident in the Bucks to inflict a ton of damage this year, and they've inflicted a ton of damage.
That's right.
It's the NFL. These guys get paid, too, on the other side. Yep. I mean, no matter what you say, coaches get paid to scheme. Players get paid to play.
Yep.
Every week is different. Nuances, calls, situations, things that don't even really make it onto our show. There's always context, and I think if you try to pick apart every single game, you could probably paint the narrative in a million different directions.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is they're on pace for a zillion points. Brady's on pace for the MVP, and they've yet to lose. So nothing I've seen has rattled my confidence. A little different with the Chiefs, but with Tampa, no, I mean, I'm still highly bullish on them, like everybody.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, this is bull something else, not bullish. Taunting was a major point of emphasis before the season, and we've seen multiple cases of teams getting flagged, all right, even fined for taunting. However, on Sunday, Chargers won out Keenan Allen, who generally is quiet. Like, he's not one of these showboaters. Unless you challenge him, Keenan's going to do his job, and he's going to do it very well and very professionally. But he was called for a costly taunting penalty. But the replay showed Allen was actually yelling at a Cowboys defender for an illegal helmet-to-helmet that was missed. The refs misunderstood the situation, and they threw the penalty. In or out? Taunting calls should be reviewable.
No, not reviewable, but they need to take away this point of emphasis because context is lost. Like, you just, like, referees don't see everything that's going on. And so they think that someone getting in someone's face is all about them taunting them when it actually probably is not. How can you let men playing an emotional sport not have emotions towards one another? Like, what the hell are we talking about? It's just, this is the weakest. It's frustrating to me because in the Buccaneers game, they got a taunting call because he turned around and like after he scored the interception, I forget his name, the kid who had the two interceptions for the Buccaneers, Edwards. He turns around, he gets a taunting call. Like it's just ridiculous how they're adjudicating this right now in real time. I hate it.
I can't stand it.
I don't even know if I said inbounds or inbounds.
I think that was strongly implied, my man. And now I'm going to pick up the baton and finish the race for you because I'm totally with you. Listen, it's a reflection of society.
Mm-hmm.
We have become inherently soft. We expect
game, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. We expect these guys, these men, these young athletes out there to go out, right, and run through a tunnel and subject themselves to paralysis, God forbid, with the wrong hit, snapping a vertebrae, snapping a knee, having a foot dangle in the wrong direction, getting concussed to the point where you don't even remember your name, and you can't celebrate a play? Give me a break with this nonsense. They need to understand fast that there's a difference between taunting and celebrating.
Yeah.
Now, to me, this is what taunting is. I score a touchdown on you, right? I grab the football, I spike it in your face. Yeah, how do you like that, sucker? Yeah, yeah. Like, there's a difference. And then obviously throwing expletives. Yeah. You don't want kids to see. But enjoying your job and having fun and celebrating accomplishment, when you start to strip that away,
you're right.
You strip away the essence of the game.
We're 2 weeks into this new emphasis, and it's already failed.
I can't stand it.
It's already failed.
I'll say inbounds, but the one thing that I'll differ in this regard, that I do think it should be reviewable until they completely eradicate it from the game.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to throw flags with that frequency, they cannot determine the outcome of games. And until they just get rid of it, I'd like to see it reviewable. No, I don't want to see the game get slowed down and sit there for 2 minutes while they review something stupid. Nobody wants that, but it can't impact W's and L's.
Yeah.
And it has been.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, my man Teague was at the Whiteout, Penn State, Auburn. He called it this weekend, Happy Valley. He saw the refs make an inexcusable mistake. Now, second quarter, this I think might be worse than the taunting. In the second quarter, the SEC refs miscounted the downs and said it was fourth when it was actually third.
Uh-huh.
Now, James Franklin pleaded his case. Multiple refs, obviously, including the replay official, insisted it was fourth down and Penn State was forced to punt. After the punt, the officials admitted their mistake, but it was too late, and following the game, Franklin bit his tongue.
That sequence where they seem to take a play away from you.
They seem? What'd you think?
Well, I'm trying to be diplomatic.
You don't have to be diplomatic. So I want you to say it because I can't.
They took a play away from you. Did you communicate with the officials?
I talked to all of them.
And they said what?
They all agreed on the call, and so did the replay. They all agreed. And I kept bringing them over and saying it's not accurate.
Okay. And by the way, I tone up with Franklin on this 1,000%. It's not the reporter's job to express discontent. It's really, I don't care how much they're going to fine him.
Yeah.
James Franklin's got to deliver a rip job right there. He chose not to, whatever. Yeah. If the refs realize egregious errors like this right away, the game should be reset to play the proper down.
Well, here's the problem is that you see this all the time anyways, right? Let's say that on a punt play, you go down, the team is offsides or whatever, and play goes on, the punt return, gets 50 yards or whatever on the return, and all of a sudden there's a flag. They just go back and they do it over again, right? There's nothing that says that you have to go forward even though the play has already happened. So I agree. The refs, inbounds, it should be reset because you do this anyways on certain plays.
Yeah, but you don't, well, let's distinguish. I mean, you don't then punt and go to commercial and then come back and alter any call. That never happens. When does that happen? I don't think I've ever watched a game. Something happens. They make the call that's egregiously wrong. They flip back. I go to two other guys. I come back.
No. That's not what I mean.
I know. I'm just distinguishing. Yeah. But that's why my answer is inbounds. But if you notice it right away, you can't punt and go to commercial and then come out and say, well, hey, all right, whoa, guys, we really messed up here.
But they didn't run another play. They didn't run another play.
No, but they punted.
They just did the punt.
You can't. That feels too.
No, I know what you're saying. Bush League. I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, have a team that should not be hard to decipher. You get four downs and you have to make a decision. Are we going, as we used to say in the street, are we kicking or you sticking? All right, if you're sticking, you're going. If you're kicking, you're punting in the street. Just, you get four downs. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ask somebody that has black and white stripes across their chest, how many downs is it? Before you punt. That's not hard. But I think once you punt, that's just too hokey for me.
Are you in or are you out?
Santa, you seem to disagree. I see you bobbing your head over there. What's up?
No, I disagree wholeheartedly. Had they run one play, that's one thing. But it was literally a punt, and
that's a play.
This was a bad call. But
Mike,
a punt is a
play. A punt, it's not a sexy play,
yeah,
but it's a play.
How many times do we redo punts? You know what I mean?
Well, we redo punts if there's a penalty and you decline and you make them punt again.
And this wasn't a bad call or a missed call or a reviewed call.
It was a no call.
This was literally a mistake by the referees that caused
hints.
So, at the end of the day, the refs have to fix the mistake. It kind of reminds me of the Galarraga perfect game that was taken away by Joyce.
Tigers. Yeah.
That was the last play of the game. If it was the second out of the eighth inning, different story. It was the last out of the game. You can just retroactively go back and say, okay, that was an out.
You can't do
that. That was a fourth down. That was a third down. You can very easily come back from break and say, you know what? We're going to nix the punt, play third down again.
We're going to start rewriting history now. I mean, did Jackie Robinson really slide under Yogi Berra's tag at home plate? I've watched it a million times. I still can't decipher.
But in the moment.
Want to rule him out 50 years later?
But in the moment.
60 years later?
In the moment. I'm surprised that didn't get caught by some. I mean, don't they have replay officials?
Well, somebody needs to get suspended. And I really don't say that too often.
Yeah.
If you can't keep track of downs, you should get suspended.
Yeah, right, because that speaks to the lack of integrity of the outcome of the game.
Correct.
Are you in or are you out?
I'm just waiting for the sound of that. What?
Well, we already did it.
Well,
and then we kept talking.
Ah, whatever. Padres, all right, big expectations coming into the season deep, but they're just 23-33 since the All-Star break. They're 76-73. Now, over the weekend, I don't know if you saw this, but they had a rough hand. The Cardinals swept them, and there was a wild exchange. Machado going after Fernando Tatis Jr. in the dugout, and you could actually see him yelling visibly, go play baseball. It's not about you. It's not bleeping about you. There it is. The fan had the video. And, I mean, he top step of the dugout. Finally, people trying to get involved. It was pretty aggressive. In or out. The Padres do have to make some major changes in the offseason.
No, I don't think so. I'm going to say out of bounds here. He had a $300 million third baseman and a $340 million shortstop. It's a lot of cash on the left side of that infield.
Yes.
And so I'm going to say no. I think they need some constructive team building and so communication skills maybe. But this also seems to be just Fernando Tatis being young and Manny Machado being around long enough to know that if you're not playing collectively, you're not going anywhere.
I'm gonna say
out of bounds.
Yeah, I'm gonna say out of bounds as well. I also think this is one of those situations. I don't know the exact dynamic between Machado and Tatis, but young players, there's been a lot of things like NFL sidelines, things boil over, people overreact to them. Sometimes that is just a dynamic within the relationship, and it's acceptable. It seems volatile to those of us looking from the outside inward, but when you really boil down to how they interact, that's their personalities, that it's largely okay. I would not be worried about them. I would not be worried about them. All right. Would you be a little worried about Jameis Winston after he served up that stink bomb yesterday after a great week one? We'll hit that coming up next, third hour, Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.